You are able to see the verse?
Yes, Prabhuji.
You are able to see the verse I am showing?
Yes, Prabhuji, we can see the verse.
Okay, so we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter number 26, Shlok number 23. Sattvam mukham sudati sabhruvanu ragabhara vridavi lamba vilasad dasitavalokam nilala kalibhirupas krutamunnasamnaha Swanam Pradarshaya Manasvini Valguvakyam. My dear wife, your teeth are very beautifully set and your attractive features make you appear very thoughtful. Kindly give up your anger, be merciful upon me, and please smile upon me with loving attachment. When I see smile on your beautiful face, and when I see your hair, which is as beautiful as the color blue, and I see your raised nose and hear your sweet talk, you will become more beautiful to me and thus attract me and oblige me. You are my most respected mistress. Or put by Srila Prabhupada, an effeminate husband, simply being attracted by the external beauty of his wife, tries to become her most obedient servant. Sripad Shankaracharya has therefore advised that we not become attracted by the lump of flesh and blood. The story is told that at one time, a man, very much attracted to a beautiful woman, wooed the woman in such a way that she devised a plan to show him ingredients of her beauty. The woman made a debt to see him, and before seeing him, she took purgative, and that whole day and night, she simply passed stool and she preserved that stool in a pot. The next night, when a man came to see her, she appeared very ugly and emaciated. When the man inquired from her about the woman with whom he had an engagement, she replied, "I am that very woman." The man refused to believe her, not knowing what she had lost all her beauty due to the violent purgative that caused her to pass stool day and night. When the man began to argue with her, the woman said that she was not looking beautiful because she was separated from the ingredients of her beauty. When the man asked how she could be so separated, the woman said, "Come on, I will show you." She then showed him the pot filled with liquid stool and vomit. Thus, the man became aware that the beautiful woman is simply a lump of matter composed of blood, stool, urine, and similar other disgusting ingredients. This is the actual fact. But in state of illusion, man becomes attracted by illusory beauty and becomes a victim of Maya. King Puranjana begged his queen to return to her original beauty. He tried to revive her just as a living entity tries to revive his original consciousness, Krishna consciousness, which is very beautiful. All the beautiful features of the queen could be compared to the beautiful features of Krishna consciousness. When one returns to his original Krishna consciousness, he actually becomes steady in his life and becomes successful. So actually Shyamagauri Mataji was asking for a topic, and I said it's a daily Bhagavatam wherein we have this series of verses going all together, and there was no need of topic as such, but looking at the verse, I just told her that maybe ideal grihastha life can be the topic, and she said that maybe if you are not comfortable with the verse, you can take further verse also. But I said that there is a good purport given by Srila Prabhupada, and actually all these Srimad Bhagavatam scriptures, when we read and see, what we are discussing today is actually Narad Muni is narrating a story of Puranjan to King Prachin Barhi. Prachin Barhi is a king of a province. He had sons who are called as prachetas. They have gone for performing austerity so that they can take charge, enter into grihastha ashram in future. And Narad Muni here comes to King Prachinbarhi and he is preaching to King Prachinbarhi via narrating a fake story. Though the story is fake, but still it is relevant to King Prachinbarhi, as in a story, Narad Muni is making a pictorial version of Prachinbarhi himself. And when we read this story, this is chapter 26, which we are discussing, still 27, 28 chapters, this analogy goes on. And in 29th chapter, actually, this Prachinbarhi inquires that, what is this analogy? What you are telling me? I have not understood. And then Narad Muni explains what represents what it, in this story. And then he has that understanding of this analogy. Basically, he himself has been depicted as Puranjan by Narad Muni through this story. So therefore, when we understand, there are different levels by which we understand these verses of Bhagavatam. Just like you must have eaten cabbage sabji, or we pile it, or just like onion. We have an onion and we peel it off. The first layer is thrown away, then the second layer, then the third layer. So the different layers are being taken out. So similarly, I'm going to talk about this today's verse in three layers. The first layer is the storyline itself. What is happening in the story? So Puranjan basically is a kind of a king, and he has gone for hunting, and he does hunting. We have all seen that. You must have heard during the previous shlokas of this chapter. It has started from the 24th chapter itself, 5th, 6th chapter. We are into it now. And when Puranjan comes back from hunting, his wife, he sees in a very disturbed state, very unhappy, morose. And he tries to inquire from her the reason of her despondency and tries to pacify her. And in that pacification, actually, today's verse fall. So basically, whenever there is some mention of nature of woman like this, what is mentioned in the purport, Prabhupada quotes the Shankaracharya story and the liquid beauty story is being narrated here. Now the question is a husband supposed to look at his wife through this angle? And if he looks via this angle, then what is going to happen in that relationship? How a solid relationship can be built when you just see through this relationship as a matter of something made up of blood and flesh just, and not something conscious? So therefore, why and when and where these stories are narrated is very important for us to understand. Okay, for a renunciant, this is being told. We can understand this. So therefore, Narad Muni is telling this story to whom? To Prachinbarhi, who is very much attached. He was attached king. And in 23rd, 24th chapter, if you read, the whole context is that he was killing so many animals in the name of sacrifice. Rampantly, he would kill animals and turn into a sense gratifier. So to stop that, and actually his sons has gone already for performing austerity. The Prachetas, we know, they are going to take a kingdom within some time, when they come back from performing austerity, and they are devotees of the Lord, they are going to see the Lord. So there is time for retirement for Prachin Barhi. So to invoke that retirement and renunciation spirit, Narad Muni is narrating this story of King Puranjana. So therefore, it's very essential for us to discriminate and understand there is the Griha Medhi life and there is Grihastha Ashrama life, and these two are totally different, or we can say they are 180 degree opposite to each other. A Griha Medhi life is based on sense gratification, and a Grihastha life is based on service. And therefore, there is a word ashram used in this. Ashram is something sacred, something very holy, something divine. We have Brahmacharya ashram, Grihastha ashram, Vanaprastha ashram, and Sannyasa ashram. So a Grihastha ashram is also called as ashram. So these are the four divisions of one's life. One has to go through these divisions. And there are four varnas as well. They are the four divisions of society. So the four divisions of society is called as varna, and four divisions of one's own life are called as ashramas. So four varnas are Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And four statuses of one's life are Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyasi. So except Grihastha, these three can be considered as, to some extent, renounced orders. Obviously, Brahmachari is full-fledged renounced life, and a Grihastha, Vanaprastha is to some extent renounced life, and
Hare Krishna. What happened? Hare Krishna.
Am I audible now?
Yeah, yes, probably now.
There was some connection issue.
Okay.
So, what I was telling, the ashraya is more important than the ashram. Because married life, there are two categories. One is Grihamedi, another is Grihastha. So Grihamedi, for them, the ashraya is gratification. But for Grihasthas, the ashraya is service of the Lord. So in our Vedic culture, therefore, the wife is treated as Ardhangini. So Anga means body. Ardha means half, or in English, what we call it, a better half. So Ardha Angini. So we cannot condemn our half body, right? We don't even condemn some part of the body which is not functioning properly. Even if I happen to damage my finger, some wound is there on the finger, then I don't condemn this finger. Though there is some flaw or fault in it, I try to recover it, and so that it can be connected and I can serve better. Basically, this sense can be this sense or this organ is connected to the body, and this organ serves the body, and this body serves some superior purpose. So similarly, when the wife is treated as Ardha Angini, means the half part of a male, then there is no condemnation at all. So yes, in scriptures we see sometimes there are such kinds of narrations and narratives wherein to invoke that spirit of renunciation, such types of things are narrated. So they are never meant to demean that person by value in any way. And therefore, a woman, as Chanakya Pandit has said, needs protection at all the three stages of her life. When she is unmarried, she should be protected by her father. When she is married, she should be protected by husband. And when the husband is not there, she should be protected by her sons. So at all the stages, she need to be protected. And that is what a grihastha ashram is supportive, or grihastha culture can help in that aspect. And our scriptures themselves are full of so many ideal grihasthas that we see. We have Kardam Muni and Devahuti, to whom Kapila Deva, Lord himself, agreed to become son. That we saw. And even Dhruva Maharaj, in latter stage of his life, he got married, and Bali was his descendant. Prahlad Maharaj was a grihastha. Ambrish Maharaj was a grihastha. Yudhishthir Maharaj, all these Pandavas, they were grihasthas. So at one point of time, they all retired from their life and they entered into Vanaprastha ashram, and some of them later enter into Sannyas ashram. Everyone is not meant to be a sannyasi. So people, those who are into Brahmacharya ashram, they can directly enter into Sannyas ashram, or they get married after getting a properly trained, then they enter Vanaprastha life, and sometimes they can continue Vanaprastha life. And in some cases, some of the people, they may enter into renounced order. And different ashramas have also different services delineated to them. Like a Brahmacharya ashram, they have some duties prescribed. If you read 7th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, last 5 chapters, they all talk in detail about the duties of a particular varna and ashrama. So every ashrama has particular duty assigned to them. Brahmachari is supposed to study, is supposed to be austere, is supposed to be forgiving. All those qualities are mentioned. Grihastha is supposed to be tolerant, is supposed to be having service attitude, doing deity worship. Vanaprastha is supposed to be doing some kind of services to community. And a sannyasi who travels and uplifts people's consciousness. That is what is mentioned. And therefore, at some point of time, it may happen, and some people with narrow mindset, they happen to condemn some of the ashramas. Now, who does that? Those who are egoistic about their own ashrams and thinks that as a better, they enter into this mode of condemning some other ashram. But as I said, these are the 4 stages of life only. You don't condemn one stage of your life, right? This cannot happen. And when we understand this glory that this grihastha ashram has, because they are one leg, or they are the support system which supports all the 3 ashramas, and when that is connected with Krishna consciousness and turned into a real ashrama and sanctify it with a service attitude, there can be nothing great glory than this, which is sung himself by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in one of his songs. who was an ideal grihastha having 10 sons. Jedina grihe bhajana dekhi gruhete goloka bhaya. I see my house as golok, non-different than golok. When I see chanting of the holy names, kirtan and worship of the deity going on in our home. And that is the spirit what Srila Prabhupada has imbibed from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was on his South India tour in Madhya Lila, 7th chapter, while traveling and delivering many people, there happened to be one Brahmana who invited Lord for Prasadam in Kurma Kshetra. The name of the Brahmana is not mentioned in Madhya Lila, but it's called as, because he belongs to Kurma Kshetra, it's called as Kurma Brahmana. So this Kurma Brahmana invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for Prasadam, then washed lotus feet of Mahaprabhu, then took that water Charanamruta and sprinkled on all the family members' heads. He himself drank it and received him as a honored guest of honor kind of thing, fed Prasadam, had nice discussion about Krishna. And then when Mahaprabhu was about to depart, this Kurma Brahmana wanted to go with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what he says, Krupa kar Prabhu more yanto mar sange sahite na pari dukha vishaya tarange. Krupa kar Prabhu more yanto mar sange. I want to come with you, my Lord. Why? Sahite na pari dukha vishaya tarange. I am drowning here in the taranga means waves. Vishaya taranga means the waves of vishaya, it's sense gratification. In the waves of misery related to sense gratification, sahitena pari dukha, I am unable to tolerate the misery associated with my life, my Lord, and I want to follow you, I want to come with you, no matter what. And what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to this Kurma Brahmana, Prabhu kahe aiche baat kabu na kohiba gruhe rahi Krishna naam nirantara laiba. What Mahaprabhu says, Prabhu kahe aiche baat kabu na kohiba, never talk like this. Why? Gruhe rahi Krishna naam nirantara laiba. You should stay at home and chant the holy names of Krishna nirantar, constantly. Constantly you should chant the holy names of Krishna and stay at home. And not only that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a famous order to him who was a grihastha. Yare dekhe tarakaha Krishna upadesh amar agya guru haiya tarayai desh. Whomsoever you meet, tarakaha Krishna upadesh, you talk about Krishna. Krishna upadesh means message given by the Lord from Bhagavad Gita or message about the Lord from Bhagavatam, like that. Amar agyai guru haiya tariyai desh. Become a spiritual master on my order. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in one sense declared him as a guru who was a grihastha. So what is more important is the consciousness with which we are living in the ashram, and not the ashram itself. Because this body and the ashram, they are all externals in one way. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself has said this. Na ham vipro na cha narpati na pi vaishyo na shudro na ham varni na cha grihapatir na vanasto yatirva kintu prodya nikhla paramananda purnamruta abdhir gopir bhartuhu padakamalayor dasa dasanu dasah. What is our real identity? Mahaprabhu says, I am not a brahmachari grihastha vanaprastha sannyasi, and I am neither brahmana kshatriya vaishya shudra. Who am I? What is my eternal identity? I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord of the gopis. So this is our real identity. So when we live in harmony with our identity, then the ashram doesn't matter. And what is our real identity? Servant of the servant of the servant. That is our real identity. So yaar dekha tar kahe, in this shloka, Srila Prabhupada has given an amazing purport. Srila Prabhupada says, this Krishna consciousness movement is trying to elevate human society to the perfection of life by pursuing the method described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his advice to this Brahmana Kurma. That is, one should stay at home, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and preach the instructions of Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, chanting the holy name of the Lord and sharing the message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deities, Srila Prabhupada says, this is the central message which we have derived from the message which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to this Kurma Brahmana to perfect one's life. So one's life can be perfected when we align our will with the will of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. And that can be easily possible when our aspirations are pure. Because as I said, the ashram is always going to be an external affair. And what is the internal affair is the ashray, what I am taking shelter of, and our aspirations, why I am doing these things. So this is the first layer of this today's verse. As I said, I'm going to discuss three layers of this verse. So the first layer is the flow itself of the shloka. The second layer going in between is the analogy, what is being actually told. As I mentioned, when you read all these verses and translations, you won't understand anything unless the 29th chapter is going to come, because there Prachin Barhi is going to ask Narad Muni, what is what in this analogy? I don't understand anything. Please tell. And then Narada tells. The beauty of our Srimad Bhagavatam is that Srila Prabhupada in his purports has given at all the times what is what. So here also in today's purports, Srila Prabhupada is saying that he is asking basically Puranjana, you should never lose focus on what is getting discussed. So Puranjana represents living entity and his wife represents intelligence. So this is the second layer of discussion. So basically what is happening? So when intelligence get contaminated, then there is no peace. The wife of King Puranjana is disturbed and he is trying to pacify, and he's saying that show me your beauty so that I can be relieved. So basically Prabhupada says that whenever intelligence is misdirected and contaminated, we need to purify that intelligence, and when that intelligence gains its original position, that is the Krishna conscious intelligence which can give us proper direction and we can be peaceful in life. So basically the wife here represents the intelligence of a living entity, and he is asking, externally it seems, show me your beautiful teeth, show me your beautiful hair. Someone might get wondered, what is this? What is this is what? Basically, the original Krishna consciousness, which is very beautiful, Srila Prabhupada says, the original beauty of a person or original intelligence, that is a Krishna conscious intelligence, that is real beauty of a person. Because the intelligence has been contaminated in the material world, that needs to be purified and brought back to its original consciousness. Just like recently here we have rainy season started, and the water actually we see in the rivers, puddles, is all contaminated water. But the same water we drink after a lot of purification. So the water has been made dirty with the contact with the sand or the dirt particles. The floody water you must have seen is all contaminated. Flood water cannot be drunk as it is. So a lot of purification plant is there, and then through that the water goes, and then it comes through corporation to us in a tap water. So the tap water is drinkable. And there also we have these water filters, high-tech water filters costing lakhs of rupees, and those purify the water, and then the water becomes drinkable. So similarly, our intelligence, when it is in contact with the material world for long, it gathers those contaminations and it misdirects us, and we may lose track of our life. So when that intelligence comes back on track, basically means our original Krishna consciousness, then life is not only peaceful, but life is happy. In Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, 66th verse, Krishna talks about this intelligence. Nasti buddhir ayuktasya na chayuktasya bhavana na cha bhavayatah shantir ashantasya kutah sukham. Nasti buddhir ayuktasya. One whose buddhi means intelligence is ayukta. Yukta means engaged, ayukta means separated. One whose buddhi is separated, na cha yuktasya bhavana, and whose bhavana, basically proper translate is that one's mind is also disengaged. So when the intelligence is disengaged and the mind is disengaged from what? From Krishna. So from Krishna, nasti buddhir ayuktasya, when the buddhi is disengaged, na cha ayuktasya bhavana, when the mind is disengaged, na cha bhavayata shanti, how can there be peace? And ashantasya kutaha sukham, when there is no peace, how can there be happiness? So the formula for happiness is we need peace. And the formula for peace is given in Bhagavad Gita 5.29. Bhoktaram yadya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram surudam sarvabhutanam jnatvamam shanti mruchati. 5.29 purport mentions, Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, in the very beginning, this is called as peace formula. Krishna is the enjoyer, Krishna is the proprietor, Krishna is the enjoyer, and Krishna is the source of all. To know that, Krishna is the well-wishing friend of everyone. Surdam sarva bhutanam, jnatva. When one knows that, that person can be peaceful. So basically it means, so 2.66 and 5.29, there is a connection. So the buddhi and intelligence and the mind means bhavana, when they are disconnected, there is no peace, there is no happiness. And when they are connected to Krishna in 5.29, there is peace. And when there is peace, there can be happiness. So therefore, our buddhi, our intelligence actually is kind of bi-directional. Bi-directional means what? It can be connected to anywhere. If you are able to see my position of hand, so this is the, let us say, a state of intelligence. Above the intelligence is the soul. Below the intelligence is the mind. If you know the sequence of subtlety, in Bhagavad Gita, third chapter, the sequence comes. In third point, third chapter, 41st verse. Indriyani paranyahur indriyabhyah param manah manasastu parabuddhir yo buddhe paratastu saha. So dull matter, then there are senses, then above the senses is the mind, above the mind is the intelligence, above the intelligence is the soul. So when we are focusing our camera on just this buddhi, so below the buddhi is mind, above the buddhi is soul. So buddhi can be manonishtha if it goes down, or buddhi can be atmanishtha if it goes up. So this intelligence, to regain its beauty, that intelligence should be atmanishtha. It means it should be connected to Krishna. So when buddhi gets connected to Krishna, then everything is Krishnaized. But when the same buddhi is connected to the mind, which is full of desires, material desires, then mind sends all those impurities in the buddhi, and buddhi is polluted and it is no longer atmanishtha, no longer connected to the source, and there cannot be peace. And therefore it is said, bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakali ashanta krishna bhakta nishkama ata eva shanta. When there are these two desires, bhukti and mukti, sakali ashanta, they are all ashanta, means they are not peaceful. Krishna bhakta nishkama ata eva shanta. Why Krishna bhakta is peaceful or shanta? Because his or her buddhi is connected to the higher self, the soul, atma. Therefore the buddhi is called as atmanishtha. And all these others, bhukti means they want material enjoyment that is being generated in the mind. Mukti, that is also a kind of selfish desire. Jiva Goswami mentions, Rup Goswami mentions one shloka in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Bhukti mukti spraha yavat pishachi rudivartate tavat bhakti sukasyatra kutaha abhyudayo bhavet. Bhukti and mukti, they are like spruha. Pishachi rudi vartate. They are called as pishachi. They are called as ghost in the heart of a person. And unless this ghost pishachi of mukti and bhukti are taking place in the heart, bhukti mukti spruha yavat pishachi rudi vartate tavat bhakti sukhasyatra kutaha abhyudayo bhavet. How can the sukh or the happiness generated of bhakti can take place in such a heart? And this desire for bhukti and mukti take place in the mind, and when the buddhi is also connected to the mind in a lower version, then that is a self-aggrandizement or non-happiness condition, ashanta condition. And when the buddhi is atmanishta, connected to the supreme self with a higher purpose, then that is shanta, and not only shanta but also happy, supremely happy. So this, in the second layer explanation of this verse, we understand what type of analogy Narad Muni is telling to Prachin Barhi to purify the intelligence and gain the original state of Krishna consciousness. Connect your buddhi to your higher self. This is the second layer I'm telling you. And the third layer of the understanding of this analogy is that the third layer which we can see, and this third layer which is the core of the entire analogy, 24, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 chapters we can go, and through the entire analogy we can, what we need to understand is that Narad Muni is narrating this analogy and the story to King Prachin Barhi so that he retires timely, and Prachitas now will gain the kingdom, and Prachin Barhi will attain perfection in his life. Now, the most important point for us sadhakas to understand is that Prachin Barhi was instructed by Narad Muni, and Narad Muni is correcting the behavior of Prachin Barhi. In one sense, Prachin Barhi's behavior is off track. He's conducting so many sacrifices, killing the animals rampantly, and he has forgotten his self-interest. So, it may happen in a life of a sadhaka that he also may get distracted from his goal at some point of life, some point of time in life. Now, do we have someone in our life who will correct us, or do we have given authority to someone in our life to correct us when we get distracted from our life? we see from Srimad Bhagavatam 5th canto, a great king, Maharaj Bharat. He has renounced everything. Everything he has renounced, his wives, his kingdom, his opulence, his sons, everything he has renounced. And he goes to forest for performing austerity. And he has reached the stage of bhava, Acharya explains. How we can say, there are shlokas you can read that when he would chant, we have these aspirations. Nayanam galada shuddharaya vadanam gadgadurdiyagira pulakair nichitam vapukadatava nama grahane bhavishyati. This is bhava stage of shloka. He would cry when he would chant the names of the Lord. His body would tremble. There are verses explaining this all. So he was almost at the stage of bhava. And when that dear incident comes in his life, that deer, he got attached to that deer so much, Srila Prabhupada says, misplaced compassion. And he, there is no fault in being compassionate, but the fault that at the cost of your own sadhana, that was the problem. So now, Bharat got distracted from his life. He gave up his sadhana. He fell down from his level of bhava to such an extent that in next life he became deer. And one who at the stage of bhava has attained the stage of bhava has to go through three lives: the king Bharat, the deer Bharat, and the jada Bharat. And after jada Bharat lives, he became successful in his attempts of perfecting his life, mission of life, to attain Krishna Prema. So, the point I am trying to emphasize here is that at that point of time, when Bharat was getting distracted from his sadhana, there was no one to correct him. And therefore, he fell down from such a high position as that of a bhava. So we all need association of devotees even at the stage of prema. Krishna bhakti janma mula hoya sadhu sanga Krishna prema janmete ho punha mukhya anga. Mahaprabhu himself tells this. Krishna bhakti janma mula hoya sadhu sanga. In sadhu sanga Krishna bhakti is born. Krishna bhakti janma mula hoya sadhu sanga. So Krishna association of devotees give birth to our bhakti. And Krishna prema janme teho punaha mukhya anga. Even though you attain perfection and come to the stage of Krishna prema, then also you need association of devotees. And not only a goody-goody association. Hello, how are you? And take this and do that. Not that kind of association. But that kind of association wherein we have given authority to someone who will correct us when we get distracted from our goal. I was just reading a few days ago a very nice book written by Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, Reflections on Sacred Teachings. On Madhurya Kadambini he has written, Shikshastakam he has written. So in that Shikshastakam, just on 8 verses, he has written one full book, Reflections on Sacred Teachings, Shikshastakam Volume 1. So in that book, Maharaj explains very nicely and a very deep point actually. Maharaj, he mentions, when I was a brahmachari, I would go and meet devotees and ask them, what is in it me that bothers you? What are my habits that are irritating to others? He would go to God brothers and ask them, please tell me, please correct me if I'm going wrong. Because according to psychology, a person's behavior falls in 4 states. So if you divide, so there are 4 quadrants. It's a in and itself different seminar which I give, self-improvement. So that there in that quadrant, there is one section which is called as blind spot. There are some traits about me which are known to me as well as known to others. Just like I'm wearing this saffron shirt, kurta. Its color is saffron. It's known to me, and those who are watching this is known to others as well. Now, there are some things which are known to me. They are unknown to others. This is another quadrant. Known to me and not known to others. It means what I had for my lunch. I only know. You all don't know. There is one more quadrant. Not known to me and not known to you. Who I was in my previous birth is beyond our control. I don't know. You don't know. Only Krishna might know. And the most important part of the quadrant for improvement is there are some things about me which I don't know, but you know. Or others know. Just like if I'm sleeping and I start snoring. The person who is sleeping is unaware of his or her own snoring, but others know that this fellow is snoring. Bad mouth. You don't know, but others know. Right? One time I gave a lecture on one festival and some people came to me, Prabhuji, very nice class. Prabhuji, very nice class. And another devotee came to me, Prabhuji, why you was in so hurry? You are speaking so fast. I wanted to note down. I couldn't note down only. You was going so fast. You should take some pauses. You should speak little slow. So I'm speaking. I'm unaware, but others are aware what pace, what speed I'm talking in. So there are some things in my life which I don't know, but others know. And there I have to take help of others. So I'm connecting these two things. One is the Narad Muni correcting King Prachina Barhi. And we also have so many examples from scriptures. Vidura came and corrected Dhritarashtra. Why are you so attached? You are living on pieces of roti thrown by Bhima. Don't you feel ashamed? Just quit and go into forest. It's time for retirement. So Vidura came and corrected Dhritarashtra's life. And then he was realized almost. He could perfect his life just because of that correction. Otherwise, there was no one to correct him. And therefore, he was not able to understand the message of Gita. Gita, how many people heard Bhagavad Gita? Arjuna heard, Sanjaya heard, Dhritarashtra heard. Arjuna's life was transformed. Karishya Vachanam Tava. Sanjaya's life was transformed. Muhur Muho. He became happy by remembering the message. Dhritarashtra's life was not transformed. Why? Because there was no one to intervene in his life personally and tell him what is to be done, what is not to be done. And when Vidura came, Vidura corrected him and then he retired. And then in Mahabharata mention comes that his wife Gandhari also followed and then they attained perfection in the forest. Bhagavatam also mentions this, Dhritarashtra retirement. So Narad Muni corrected so many people. Vidura corrected people. And those people attained perfection. So we need to see in our life, are we giving authority to someone to correct us? Because many a times our ego creates such a kind of a barrier. When someone offers correction, we take it personally and we deny. No, I am not like that. We are chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And sometimes we go dozy. We are sleeping, which we don't know. Our neighbor knows and neighbor wakes us up. No, I was not sleeping. We deny that. So the more we deny our correction by others, the more we are going away from our own benefit. Our own Shreya, what is real benefit. So, forget about other correcting us. Can we be more proactive like Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj's case And going to other people, it needs a lot of courage and humility to go to others and ask for improvement suggestions. Where can I improve? Can you please tell me? So the more people, the more devotees we have between us and Krishna, the more safer is the position. We cannot have direct contact with Krishna. Just like Bharat Maharaj, who got distracted from his life. There was no one, no devotee association in between him and Krishna. And he fell down to such an extent. Three lives was the cost he has to pay to, so that the cost of not having anyone between you and Krishna. So from this story, the inner meaning, what I am telling you, the core of this analogy, do we have someone in our life who will correct us, or do we have someone whom we ask for suggestions so that we can improve our bhakti practices and march forward steadily in our goal towards Krishna? So this is the more important aspect of our Krishna consciousness. And the more we take benefit, that is taking benefit of association of devotees. It's not just inspiration. Yes, it is at one level taking inspiration, but at a deeper level, keeping our ego aside and seeking suggestions to improve and giving them right to correct us when we get distracted. Just like Prachin Barvi, now he is hearing Narad Muni. Then he inquires further and he gives actually all the reins of his life in his hand. You tell me and I will do. And that's what he did, and he attained perfection. Afterwards, it will come. He was so much attached, doing so many sacrifices. But later in the 29th, 30th chapter, if you read the conclusion, Prachin Barhi could perfect his life just because he followed the Narad Muni's advice. And he allowed Narad Muni at first place to correct him, though through analogy. So we also, the more we give right to someone, at least, not all maybe, that they correct us. Prabhu, please tell me. If I am sleeping, please awake me. And when they give suggestions, you don't have anything to say rather than thank you. And when we do that, actually, we can take our life to a next plateau of Krishna consciousness. I'll conclude with last thought in this. There is a very famous book written by Marshall Goldsmith, an American author, entrepreneur. The title of the book is What Got You Here Won't Get You There. So some high-class CEOs he has interviewed, and he said that they have this bad habit of not listening to others. And what he does, he is a multi-millionaire. His job is, he just interviews the CEO and all the people associated with CEO, his subordinates, his family members, his friends, his colleagues, everyone, and ask all these people for feedback. What do you think about this fellow? And they give some feedback. He doesn't listen much. He is this, he is that, he is that. Some of the other things they mention, and Marshall, he goes, collects all those feedbacks and tell this fellow, without telling their names, that this is what people want you to improve upon. And if you improve, your life can be more successful. So there is a term called as feedback, and there is one more term called as feed forward. So what actually Bhakti Tirth Maharaj did was taking benefit of feed forward. It means, how can I improve my life further ahead? How can I improve? What do you think about this area in my life? Can you offer some suggestions? Because you are observing me day in and day out. Please offer me some suggestions. And when we take suggestions actually from people, we can improve. Like Marshall helps CEOs of companies to improve to another level, we can take benefit without the help of Marshall. But this attitude of allowing others to help us in our improvement journey towards Krishna, and we allow, actually we give them the right. And the more devotees, there are more chances of improvement, because there is going to be some zone in our life, and there is what I don't know, others know. People around me, there is going to be some area of my life which I don't know, but others know. And when I seek suggestions, in a negative sense, maybe corrections, take it positively and want to improve upon them, work on them, our life certainly, you can take my words, it can go to a next level for sure. So in nutshell, three things we have discussed in today's verse, like a peeling of an onion. At the gross level, what is exactly happening in the storyline, and how we need to look at a grihastha ashram in a more holy way and not just condemning it. And through the story of Kurma Brahman and Mahaprabhu's message to him and Prabhupada's purport, we saw that is also an ashram wherein ashray is more important. Second, we went deep into this analogy and what does that wife and Puranjan represents. Puranjan is the living entity and the wife represents the intelligence. So when the intelligence is polluted, then your Krishna consciousness is gone. And therefore our buddhi, I mentioned three levels, mind, intelligence and buddhi. So when our buddhi is upward directed towards the soul, it is Atmanishtha. And when the buddhi is inclined towards the mind, it is Manonishtha. Manonishtha buddhi is Ashanta, Atmanishtha buddhi is Shanta. And therein we saw the glory of bhakti, that how to spiritualize our intelligence by reading the scriptures and connecting our buddhi to Krishna. That is not only peaceful. Bhagavad Gita 2.66 and 5.29 we linked that buddhi which is disconnected from Krishna, there is no peace, and there is no peace means no happiness. Rather, when we know Krishna, you know peace. And that is Krishna connection. That is buddhi's higher connection. And the third point, second point was purifying our intelligence, connecting it with Krishna. And the deepest analogy, the last point of this, this can be for all the chapters what we are discussing actually, but I'm sharing, just thought of sharing today, is that are we giving authority to some of the devotees in our association that they correct us at some point of time? Because you also must have seen, someone is doing something wrong, and how can I tell that person? How that person will take it? That fellow is so egoistic and he will take it negatively. Better not tell. So it may happen. It has happened with us. We don't tell others because they will take it as a criticism rather than suggestion. So the ego comes in between. So the same thing, they also might be thinking about us. Who will bell the cat? Are there devotees who are thinking like this about us? Who will bell the cat? So better we only go and bow down in front of them, giving bell in their hand and asking them, you please ring bell in my neck. So the cat is going to this. This is what the blind spot in psychology called as, what we don't know about us, others know. So similarly, there is a need of a mentor, a kind of association of devotees who will keep us on track, which was missing in case of Bharat Maharaj, what we discussed. And therefore he fell down even from the stage of Bhava, and he has to spend three lives just to perfect his Krishna consciousness. So that should not happen with us. We can't spare so many lives just because of lack of association. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, that kind of association is available to us. But the more we open ourselves for suggestions for improvement, the more we take benefit of this association and can perfect our life. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions?
Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such wonderful class. And I like the point most that there should be someone whom we can follow or who can correct us on our mistakes. So that is very, very much important and applicable. So thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time. So now, how much time you have, Prabhuji, for questions and answers?
It's up to you. 5-10 okay. minutes, whatever. If someone has okay. questions at all.
Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. So now I will request devotees, if they have any questions or comments for Prabhuji, they can ask now.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for a really nice class. You explained all the three different layers. Hare Krishna,
voice
Prabhuji.
Voice is breaking.
Yes. Prabhuji, can you hear me? Sorry, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, you really you nicely explained all the different layers of this verse. I have a couple of questions. One question is, you are talking about.
You can ask one by one. You can ask one by one. If you...
Yes, Prabhuji. The first question is, you explained the sequence of mind intelligence, and when we use our intelligence at a lower level, that's when we kind of degrade ourselves. But when the intelligence is used in order to connect to the soul, that's when we, like Prabhupada explains in the purport, that's our actual goal of connecting our intelligence to Krishna consciousness. But the fact is that above the intelligence is the false ego, right? That is the aspect that we cannot really see. And is that the reason why you mentioned the third layer?
Yes.
Taking guidance.
Yes. Yes.
Because that is something like I cannot see, whether, like you mentioned, I don't know. Like every one of us has this ego, because that's the first element that came into creation when we were put into the situation. And I cannot see what level of ego I have. And because I asked this question to you, connecting to that, you mentioned to take guidance of senior devotees. So does it have to be really one person, or it can be more than one person?
See, first of all, what you are saying is correct, that above the mind, there is buddhi, above the buddhi, there is ahankara, and then there is soul. So the ahankara is so subtle. Imagine mind itself is so subtle. Intelligence is subtler. Ego is subtlest. So we don't know how much ego we have. But really, we need to work on it. And therefore, we need association. And that person can be one person whom we have given authority and right to correct us whenever we go wrong. Like mentor, counselor, whatever you call it. Guru also, in one sense. But provided we have given the authority, that is more important. Because many a times we don't give authority even to Guru. And sometimes even Guru might think that, how can I tell this person? Will he follow? I have asked, I will not tell the name. There is one guru, he has a peer that if I tell something, this disciple may take it in the wrong way and he will not follow my order, and he will be offending, committing the third offense, guru avagya, and I am afraid of that, therefore I am not telling. So this may happen. So therefore our ego is the subtlest, and the more the number of devotees, as I mentioned, the more safer our position becomes. And yes, it can be one, it can be many. Safer, more the safer.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanavat Pranam, and wonderful class, Prabhu. Your classes are always eye-openers, be it the CC class which you took. I just personally wanted to thank you also for that, for the CC classes which you have started in Nasik. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for it. And so, Prabhu, in this, the last topic, when you said about the ego, Could you give some more guidance on a grihastha life for a grihasthas, how to behave with this ego? Because in a family, this pops up a lot. And then how can we deal with it? Can you please guide on that, Prabhu?
Yeah, this ego actually is a very, very subtlest element which need to be tackled. And it's a problem for everyone. Whether you are a brahmachari, whether you are a grihastha, whether you are sannyasi, this ego can come at any level. And there is some sense of specialness. I am someone, something special. Or we always want to offer suggestions and get something done. I have given one more class on Bhakti Lata, taking care of Bhakti Lata. And there are two obstacles Mahaprabhu tells in Madhya Lila 19th chapter, actually, Rupa Shiksha. So Bhakti Lata, what are the obstacles of growth of Bhakti Lata? One is some other desire, Anya Abhilasha. That is one obstacle. And another obstacle is Hati Mata, Vaishnava Pradha. Now, when I just was pondering on that, it just came to me that ego is actually the cause of both, if you notice. Other desires are also generating because of ego. I should get fame. I should get prestige. My opinion should be heard. And there is Vaishnava offense. Why we commit offenses? They're also because of ego only. So ego only leads us to all this stuff. So therefore, the process of knowledge begins with humility. Krishna talks about this in 13th chapter, 8th verse. Amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, kshanti, marjavam, acharyopasanam, shaucham, sairyam, atma vinigraha. There are 20 items of knowledge. And Prabhupada writes 13.8, 9, 10, 11, 12. These 5 verses, Prabhupada writes in the purport. This is process of acquiring knowledge. So the first element is humility. So the more humble you are, the more knowledgeable you are in one sense, or more potential of becoming knowledgeable in Krishna consciousness sense. So in a family setup also, there are chances that all the clashes you might have seen. Ego is at one level, individual level, at a family level, at a society level, and at a country level also. Country level also, there is an ego. So my individual ego, when it collapses with someone else's ego, so when two things collapses, there is destruction, right? When one table collapses with another table, there is going to be a bang, big bang, and something or the other is going to break. So when two things clashes, there is going to be destruction and things diminish. There is only one thing which increases when there is a clash, and that is the clash of ego. When the ego clashes, it grows. So therefore, we should take all this opportunity in all the ashramas, wherever we are in, to diminish this ego, to keep the, to subdue this ego. There are going to be clashes for sure. And when we are with someone, we are living with their mind, our mind is there, their minds are there, their egos are there. So to subdue ego is a great challenge. And how we need to tackle is a great science behind that. First of all, you need to identify, yes, I do have this ego issue and I need to be humble. So let us say, I have seen some trivial battles happening over ego. Whenever you go, you know, you are in a traffic, and some vehicle and some of the clash is there, very minor. And then someone gets out and start shouting, the other fellow goes, and the issue is small and is made so big, the whole traffic is jam. And these people are fighting. Basically, the fight is of ego fight, who is correct. So therefore, the more we tend to prove ourselves, the more our ego increases. So therefore, we need to give up this mentality of proving ourselves. So the more we try to prove ourselves, the more we are feeding our ego. How the ego grows? By feeding it. The more we feed, the more it grows. And later on we wonder, no? So every time, have one thought in our mind. How these things matter to me at the time of death? Let us say, let us paint the room. I am saying my favorite color is pink. Let us paint it pink. The other family member is saying my favorite color is orange. Let us paint it orange. You say, no, pink. He says, no, orange. No, pink. No, orange. So there is battle going on. And ultimately, actually, whoever wins, the point at one point of time, we need to give up this silly battle of ego. What is going to happen? Is the color of my room going to matter to me at the time of death? This is what we need to think. So what is going to matter to me at the time of death? I need to invest more into that. So if this I give up this ego battle, doesn't mean that I don't have any value. Ultimately, for what we need to be valued for, and that will be determined at the moment of death. So we always need to be conscious of, is this thing going to matter to me at the time of death? And if it is going to really, then only I'll invest some time and energy into it. If it's going to not, then just leave it. By that, you will subdue your ego, because this when we are going to give up our bodies, you know, subtle body takes the soul, right? We have man, buddhi, and ahankar. These three subtle elements cover the soul, and the subtle body goes along with the soul. So the more ego we have fed, the more we feed our ego throughout this life, this ego will not allow soul to go to Krishna. It will go and allow the soul to take again another birth, wherein we will given to prove ourselves. So why take a risk of another life just for the sake of ego? And all the battles, world war, you see, they have all been fought for the sake of ego only. And all the clashes, all the difference of opinions and anything you see, I have seen over the 20-25 experience of my life that this is mostly at the ground. If you try to dig, you will find that this is that element, and that is ego. So if we burn the seed itself, then there is no going to be fructification of that seed. And that is what we need to do to ego. For more details, Her Grace Devaki Mataji has written a book, and the title of the book is Ego, that you can refer. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you so much. This was really, really wonderful. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very nice explanation of all the three levels, and so much effort you put to give us so many information connecting many different shlokas and pastimes, and answering all the questions. We are very, very grateful for your association, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dandavat Pranam. Please accept my obeisances. This is Abhiram Sakadas from Charlotte. I have two questions, Prabhu, if you have time.
Yes, please.
So the first question, Prabhu, is you mentioned the four quadrants where we know what we know and others know. The two quadrants which I'm asking this question is where nobody knows about us, or I don't know and others knows. How can we reduce the amount of those two quadrants where we are aware of ourselves and then be able to act upon our deficiencies? That's the first question.
Should I answer this now?
Yeah, please go ahead.
So these four quadrants, actually, there is a concept called as Johari window.
And yes, I have heard about that. Yes.
You must have heard about. This is used in corporate circles basically when there is a team working on to improve people's lives, and the productivity and outcome of that project can be improved by this Johari window. So four quadrants, some things we know, others also know. Some things we know, others don't know. We don't know, others know. And we don't know, and others also don't know. So we can't do much about that last quadrant wherein we don't know and others don't know. Because this is what Krishna might be knowing, who I was in my last life. And it is not a matter of concern as well. So we don't think much about that. We focus our energy on what we can do. So what I know my strengths, I know my weaknesses, I work on that. But the most important quadrant, which I have talked about in the lecture, is also the same thing. What you are asking the question is the blind spot. The blind spot is basically what I don't know, but others know. So how to improve in that is taking help from others so that they will tell us you need to improve here. And we say thank you for that and not retaliate, because most of the times this ego won't allow that information to enter only, suggestions to enter only. And we take it in a negative sense. And that's the problem. So how to enlarge that zone is by taking more and more help from others. And that is how, I'll tell you, Srila Prabhupada, when he came to Vrindavan for 6 years, when he was there in Radha Damodar temple, just after taking sannyas, after some time he shifted to Vrindavan, and he was selling, those magazines, BTG and all the leaflets he was distributing. In one library he went, and the librarian suggested, why don't you print books? Because they last long. These magazines and leaflets people throw away. So actually, Srila Prabhupada took that instruction, and Srila Prabhupada said that my Guru Maharaj is actually speaking to that person. So he won't egoistically reject that opinion, because he considered that as a blind spot. I don't know something about what I'm doing. This fellow knows. So Prabhupada took it instruction as if coming from the spiritual master. And after that, we have the history in front of us. Prabhupada wrote more than 80 books, and crores of books have been distributed throughout the world and translated in almost every language available in the world. And so many people are taking advantage of that just because Prabhupada worked on that blind spot. I don't know something about writing, and you are telling me to print books, and therefore I'll print books. So that's how we improve.
So the second question is in the same continuation, Prabhu. When we seek feedback, in the case of 360 feedback, which we use in the corporate world, there is someone interpreter who is trying to rationalize and then summarize that for us. When we seek feedback directly, how do we discriminate and how do we make sure that the areas where we are acting upon is the most important things, and that is where we need to improve upon first?
So first of all, we need to select about what area I am asking for and whom I am asking. Is the friend trustworthy who is going to give me, I won't call it a feedback, but a feed forward. We are taking suggestions for further improvement. What you want me to do so that I become a better servant of my guru. The kind of questions which we are going to ask, forgetting about our past. Okay, I have eaten a lot and therefore you call me a glutton and you give me a feedback. You are a glutton. Not like that. But what I need to do so that I can improve my life in some particular chosen area, maybe chanting or maybe my behavioral traits, maybe my eating habits or whatever kind of. And then that person also genuinely, first of all, things has to be clarified why you are doing this. And that person also understand the genuine need that you are coming and breaking that barrier of who will bail the cat. And you are yourself taking a humble position and asking for improvement. That person will not cheat you. Take my words. And because you are showing your humility, Vidya Vinayena Shobhate, that person will certainly tell you something. And that point of time, we don't have to justify anything. Prabhu, you should, I have observed that you sleep too much during japa, and you justify, no, I don't sleep in japa. Then that person will never give some help to you. Okay, you
shut the door.
You shut the door. So what we need to do is we need to advertise the improvement what we are going to do. Okay, when I feel sleep, you tell that person, whenever you see me sleeping, you wake me up. First thing. You tell others also. You yourself work on that. I get up. You tell this person, Prabhuji, after you have told me this, I go to sleep early in the night and I take my meals little lighter in the evening, and to improve my chanting, I have started reading this book and reading this japa talk given by so many advanced devotees, Sachinandan Maharaj and all those. And so that person will have a sense that this person is really improving and working on it. So we just don't have to just blankly take inputs, but try to work on them as well and show that work. So we don't have to prove ourselves, but prove our work. That we can do.
Thank you, Prabhu. So, thank you so much.
Does it help? Thank you.
Yes, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu, koti koti dhanvat, pranam to your sincere seva. Such a nectarian class, and Krishna answer also. Prabhuji, it's touched to heart that there is some Vaishnava that we can say them that please correct us. But sometimes when we correct the Vaishnava, they take it negatively, and they are not speak with us, or they are not chanting attentively. So don't understand that whether we have to correct someone or not.
I have just specifically talked about we taking corrections and asking for feedback. There is a whole great science of asking for feedback and giving feedbacks. So giving feedback is totally altogether a different subject that can be dealt later. But briefly, am I the right person to tell that? Is this the right time to tell? These things we need to ask. Because that person will take it negatively. Because has he given us the authority? So that we are telling, are we the authority? First of all, we need to check. Am I the authority? Am I the right person? And is this the right time? Second thing. And third thing, is my intention correct? I am giving some suggestion to someone just because to show that fellow lower than me, Prabhu, you are sleeping during chanting. Is my intention to show and advertise my good chanting? So that also we need to check. So all these things are there when it comes to giving feedback. We need to check our intentions. First of all, are we the right person? If we are not the right person, even if you see something, don't tell. If someone says, Prabhu, please guide me and suggest me, then you can open up.
Yes, Prabhu, I get it. Before 3 months, that is one group started by ASKCON group, Food for Life, given a food to senior citizen people. But 80% Vaishnava are newcomer Vaishnava. So by the instructs of a senior Vaishnava, we only 4-5 Vaishnava are from ASKCON. So I send Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani's darshan whenever someone is doing. It's a teamwork. Doing good job. So they said stop sending their sons. So it's going so much pain to me, but I understand today Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna is correct me by your lecture that we have to very patiently preach Prabhuji, thank you very much. Koti koti janvat pranam. I get it. I understand my mistake. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai.
Hare Krishna. So, Hare Krishna, we can all...
Prabhu, can I ask one last question? This is Abhiram Sang.
I hope you don't have time issues.
It will be simple question, Prabhu.
Uh-huh. No, no.
Feedback, If someone asks us a feedback and we know heart in heart that we are not the right person to give that feedback because we probably has no knowledge or no authority to say something on that. But person is asking the feedback. So how do we respectfully decline or channelize that to someone else and not really hamper the devotee relationship?
Okay. If someone is asking for a feedback and we are not the right person according to us, first of all, we need to understand why that person is approaching us then. Because that person might be putting some trust in you and therefore he's asking you, can you please tell me? Can you please guide me here? So whatever is within your purview, whatever is within your circle of influence, that you can tell in your heart of heart. And that too in a way that will not hurt that fellow. If you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is defeating Keshav Kashmiri, he is defeating Prakashananda Saraswati. You see, all those people surrendered, and in spite of, after being surrendered, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I will tell you if you don't feel bad. So we can also tell some things like that, provided they don't feel bad and they don't take it in a wrong way. And if at all we feel that see, feedback can be given by seniors, can be given by equals. But if we are junior to that person who is asking for feedback, then we can say that I am a junior to you and maybe you can go to someone senior or someone equal to you. And even if the person says that you please tell me, then even juniors can suggest actually. Because as I said, when we don't know something about us and others know, let us say, just to take an example, I am sleeping and I'm snoring and a junior is aware of, so he will not tell me. But when I ask, then he may tell that, Prabhu, do you have this snoring habit? Can you do something about it? And then I take it in a positive spirit and try to work on it, improve upon it. That is possible. So it's a one-to-one case. Basically, we cannot have a general rule whom to say no, whom to give, what to give. It cannot be generalized, but it's to be seen on a person-to-person basis.
Thank you, Prabhu. Does it answer? Yeah, it does answer the question, yes.
Okay, okay. So,
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. One last question, Prabhuji. If the receiver of the feedback is he is not in receptive mode, so how we can give him the feedback?
We need not give them. If the person is not
but,
in
but we can
mode,
we can clearly see that they're falling down from their
then we have path. Their mentors we have to whom we can tell that such and such things are happening here.
Okay.
Or report to authority, basically. That can be done.
Okay.
And develop a trust first, a friendship first. And when once that is developed, then based on that, we need to see person to person. Is he opening up more to receive? And once that happens, then it's a dynamic. Basically, this class is not about giving feedback and taking feedback actually, but today's essence was, do we have someone in our life who will help us when we get distracted? Like Narmuni coming to Prachindrahi and no one for Bharat Maharaj and Vidur coming for Dhritarashtra. That is the sum and substance of the third point.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
So, we will end. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.
So, thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your valuable association and time. So, we can offer Hare Krishna.
वांछाम कल्पतरुषते पा सिंधु एवचा पतितनाम पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः आनंद कोटि वैष्णवंदी की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय श्रीमद् भागवत की जय
जय
कृष्ण धन प्रभु की जय
जय ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल द वैष्णवस।